Hong Kong Classic Cup, Super Sunny Singh beat a field of 14, went off as the favorite. The bet is settled on him, and he was the right horse. I thought he was very impressive. 146.26 for the Mayan Lathe, extremely good. And once again, Vincent Ho. So Vincent Ho sweeps both big stake races at Sha Tin last Sunday. Today we've gone through, let's see, 8 races. We missed the last race, and I did not have the winner, so glad I didn't give that one out. Zach Purden's won 2 races today, which means he's now at 101 wins, and he's the fastest ever to hit the century mark in the Hong Kong races. So Zach Purden just keeps winning and winning and winning, although he does have a suspension coming up next weekend. But Zach hits 100 and now 101. And turf is pretty quick today. Rails down, so that affects the races a little bit. And do you want to go on to the last race, Steve?
Yeah, give the last race, and then we'll slip in a news note or two.
Okay, race 9, class 3, 1,200 meters. They go around that little elbow with the rail down on the inside. It might be a little sharper turn going into it. But number 9 is taking a lot of money. How Deep Is Your Love, John Size, Karis Teton, just came up from class 4 and has really run extremely well at class 3. Gets in here at 122 pounds, draws post 2. The only question is traffic if he does get shuffled back from the inside. But he looks like the hot horse and the one to beat. Public right now agrees with me. That's number 9, How Deep Is Your Love. So I'm going to try to find some horses I might not normally play underneath. Number 6, 25-1 earlier today. Here Comes Ted. Has to overcome post 11. Won its last start. Gets Luke Ferraris. Just has that image of that horse there we see in Hong Kong coming over the top. And maybe he'll be the one, despite the wide draw, be the one rallying from far back. And then I'm going to use number 11, Lucky Archangel, as my other long shot from Frankie Lohr. And he's in decent form. Nothing not to like about him. 17-1 early in the betting. So what we're going to do here, Steve, just straight cold exactas, 9 with 6, 11. And then we'll flip it back a little bit, 6-11 over the 9. But the 9 clearly looks like the horse to beat here in race 9 at Happy Valley.
Very nice. All right. 6-11 with a little 9. Save. And it's actually 28 minutes away, so we probably will not take it live, but we will report back on the results. All right, the Golden 60 story continues to be one of the best, and internationally, and with every passing success, I don't know if you heard Marcus Hirsch the other day. Marcus felt compelled as we were doing Weekend Express excitement about Golden 60s race again. So it's amazing to me, Dick, that a horse like this, that, I don't know, a generation ago, let's say, or maybe I suppose Winx was a big Winx and the big sprinter impact. Deep Impact. Deep Impact and Winx. I mean, the Australasians that, I think sort of raised consciousness, to at least in North America. I will tell you that I did not have any real connection or not that I didn't have interest potentially, but I awareness, let's say, of the Australasia product. And I'll also say that when Cesario came to Hollywood for the Oaks and was so sensational, that also was a door opener. window opener.
Yeah. Well, the Japanese showed again last weekend. They have the best racing and breeding program in the world. And if there's any questions, which certainly people might question that, who else does what they do? Who else goes all over the world and tries left-handed, right-handed, turf, dirt, doesn't matter. They put their best horses out in the world stage, go on the road, and win an inordinate amount of races to where now it's like, which Japanese horse am I going to pick? There's more than one in a race. So they've done great, and obviously that part of the world, Australia breeding is just sensational. I told you a couple of weeks ago how many million-dollar races are run in Australia. Yearling sales are just enormous in Australia and New Zealand. Prices that those horses bring are just crazy, but they're running for big, crazy money anyway, so that's kind of feeding upon itself. So, yeah, it's a terrific part of the world that, you know, time zone-wise doesn't make it easy, but internet-wise and all the tools we have available for us certainly makes it a lot more fun to follow than reading about it the next day.
It's true, and I will talk to Sid next hour. I'm not interested per se in recounting what transpired, you know, with specifics. There were a couple of, in fact, there were several American performers that came away with nice placements, but that's about all.
I got major props for Sid. I don't want to steal his thunder, but that piece he wrote last night was just fantastic. And I know he's not able to write everything he has been told, and I'm not able to say everything I've been told. But this was not a shining moment for the American justice system.
I don't know how to deal with this because Sid. Not in terms of some of the specifics, but in terms of some other aspects of this that I'll let Sid handle as he chooses to. I agree, and I actually woke up this morning to a couple of texts from people who said, "What a great read, you know, from Sid," and you know, "Bravo, Sid." So I'm glad you set the stage for that. And I suppose if we want to talk about American justice, there you go. I don't know if you heard how I opened yesterday, talking about the Rick Dutrow piece, and you know, I applaud certainly this version of the New York State regulators, the Gaming Commission. You know, there had been some speculation leading up to approving Dutrow's license application that there wasn't any guarantee that they had to approve it. So I'm glad that you know that happened without you know further you know delay. It remains to be seen where necessarily Rick chooses to set up shop. But you know, there's really never been anything like that before. And you would hope that there wouldn't be anything like that since. I mean, it was so undue and over the top, basically a self-serving antic by a regulator that was eager to, you know, turn himself into an industry icon as a hanging judge.
Well, it was written in such a way that it prevented him from even working in a pet shop.
Yeah.
I mean, I understand, yeah, you have to be careful because if you ban someone from racing and their license, they could always be at a farm training. I get that part, but they went so overboard. The only good news is when I read the story the other day is that Rick is 63, so Rick still has some years ahead of him. So if he gets back into training and whatever he does, he's 63, so he still has some good years left, as I can attest, Steve, as someone who...
Well, and I actually am 63 as well.
As someone who's 71 and spends every day at physical therapy, acupuncture, massage. It's great. Wonderful.
Well... I appreciate the thoughts on both fronts. We'll save. I've got a couple other things, but there's no timestamp per se on them. So we will save it. In fact, the HBPA will be together next. We'll be together Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday.
Yes. What time do you think you're getting in on Monday?
Well, I get there Sunday. So I'll be broadcasting starting Monday morning.
Oh, okay, because I got an early flight Monday. I think I get in around noon, so.
Well, I will be wrapping up. So Tuesday and or Wednesday from the Hotel Monteleone, which I've never even walked into the lobby. So looking forward to it.
I've been there for lunch and dinner, but I've never stayed there because I never stayed in the quarter. I would always stay out in Metairie when I would be down there on weekends.
Metairie?
Yeah.
Metairie's nice, you know, if you're as a bedroom option community, but the quarter business district or the garden district for me.
Well, but when your client has you down there 3 out of 4 weekends.
I got you.
You know, that's where I never minded it. It was convenient. It was easy to get to the track. And I would drive right by Bonneville Boulevard, the home of Gary Palmisano Jr. when he was growing up.
Wow.
That's one of the big exits off I-10 when you're on your way into New Orleans.
I love it. Well, I will see you Monday then.
Yes, definitely.
We'll get
see
rolling.
You in the flush.
Outstanding.
Okay.
Good luck with this. Again, the six. Here comes Ted. 26-1, Dick. Holy cow. 26-1, and Lucky Archangel, 21-1, and they're going to hook them up with the favorite. How deep is your love? I really need to know. Even money.
Yes.
John Size and Karis Teton. So the prices are the 6-11 and the obvious player, the 9. And we're looking about 17 minutes away. Dick Powell, I appreciate it.
All right, Steve. See you next week.
You got it. Safe travels. Dick Powell, everybody, and the HKJC and the amazing Golden 60. Speaking of amazing, I hope we're going to get John Sheriff's. And, in fact, this could be a day where two of the Hall of Fame nominees join us on the air, because John Sheriff's is the only horseman here. Hammer's talking to him. So let me get Tyler Wissman on, and then we'll see we got Sid, and obviously now I'm sure your appetite is highly whetted for Sid's appearance, which could be today on a very special at the races. Today on a very special blossom. Tyler Wissman, good morning.
Good morning, Steve. How are you?
Yeah, Tyler, terrific. Thanks for the adaptability. I appreciate it.
Yeah, no worries.
Well, and of course, that's part of the watchword when it comes to horseplay. You got to be adaptable. You've also got to be nimble, and you have to react to changing circumstances and innovations and data and so forth. And we've had plenty of conversations over the last several years. You've got such an inquisitive mind and approach to the game. And you've been developing this product, and I want everybody to know about it.
Yeah, I appreciate the platform, right? And I'll give you personally a lot of credit for my development over the years. Having spent a lot of time in the various forums of Derby Trail, where I learned a lot about not just pace, but how to read things like Therograph, and really the development you know, my handicapping process through the years. I, you know, also came across Jack Jenkins in that forum, and he and I text, you know, daily, multiple times a day as a result of that. So anyway, getting to the product that we've now developed is ThoroPace. So ThoroPace. And, you know, it's a pace analytics tool that a small group of us have been working on over the past year plus. And we have a couple of different products kind of rolled into one, if you will. Like on its surface, what we're trying to do is provide what we call the ThoroPace forecast. And basically that is our objective prediction of the likely pace scenario based on the running style of the horses and their relative post positions in a given race. One unique visual display that we have with ThoroPace is within a matter of 2 to 3 pages, I can give you an overlay of the projected pace for, you know, the entire race card, you know, not just race card, but all races across the country. Now, where that comes into play, and, you know, I'll try to weave in how I'm using the product, is that allows me to basically look for outliers in terms of pace scenarios. Like, Our scale for ThoroPace is -35, which would be a race that very much favors speed runners, and to all the way to +35. So it's a plus, it's a 70-point scale, and that +35 is going to favor stretch runners or closers, if that's how you prefer to refer to them as. Nevertheless, what I'm doing is looking for extremes on one end or the other that will allow me to then, you know, go back and objectively find a runner that fits the pace dynamic. So, you know, that can be very helpful in things, you know, with the NHC and other things coming up, contest players, you're trying to scale or scan and figure out where do I want to spend my handicapping effort. You know, that's the first product. The second product is spotlight plays, which are very much tied to the forecast, right? And so I'm sure most horse players are pretty familiar with the concept of you get a closer that closed into a slow pace, or you get a speed runner that was, you know, sitting very close or setting a hot pace, and, you know, now the pace dynamics are different. Essentially, what we're doing with our spotlight plays are readily identifying those runners for you. And so, you know, on a given day, we might identify anywhere, depending on how many race tracks are running, anywhere from, we'll just say, 6 to 12 different runners that might be horses you want to consider. But importantly, we also give you kind of a list to be skeptical of as well, right? So, you know, if a speed runner got away with an early pace that was quite easy, you know, you may want to be quite skeptical of them if they are now facing a lot different pace scenarios. And then the final product is all the details behind that. And it's kind of, you know, what we're calling the ThoroPace Insider. And it's basically the detail that shows, okay, this is what, why and how they arrived at the forecast. So the overall race pace factor, if you will. And then also we will identify horses that were either pace advantaged or disadvantaged in their last two races. And so the culmination of these three things basically is, you know, as I will describe it, it's putting the past couple of races, pace dynamics in the context of today's race, if that makes sense.
No, absolutely. What would you, when I say compare, what would you compare it to that, or in your feeling and mind, is it something that, you know, that absolutely hasn't been done before?
So, I mean, I think the idea of a pace product and pace analytics tool is certainly not unique to ThoroPace. I think what we're trying to do is a couple of things. One is there are several products out there that I think will identify, you know, or can indirectly, like, you have to piece the information together yourself. We are trying to take that next step of piecing it together for you so that it's kind of served up on a platter, for lack of a better way to put it. So, you know, part of the value, I think, of ThoroPace is the speed with which you can quickly, you know, look at a race and say, that's worth diving more into. You know, at the same time, right, I mean, there, you can't just take everything on face value. I mean, and I'll go back to a race that we highlighted on our blog over the weekend where Spankster won the Lucas horse on the Oakland card, right? And so that, just to give again, so a reminder, our scale is -35 for speed favoring, +35 for stretch runner favoring. And that race actually had a -1.9 when we first looked at it before any scratches, which is about as neutral as it can be. So theoretically, you know, that should be an evenly matched field. But we had One's the sixth Spankster was a horse that we were highlighting as a stretch runner who was getting a hotter pace because he had been in such slow pace races before. Conversely, Flapjack, which I understand pulled up in the race, but we were very much against that horse because the previous race he had won, but did so while setting the lead on a very easy pace. And so even a race that theoretically looks very neutral, you can identify horses that still are getting, relative to their past couple of races, setups that are more favorable or less favorable to their current situation.
You sent me today's sheet, and can we put this PDF on Twitter and let people? I know you've been letting people look at. We could either do a section or the whole page, but I mean, as a visual aid, and you mentioned Thoroughgraph earlier. One of the things that in Jerry's concept about using the word graph to plot the speed figures, and even if you go back to Figs Form days, the idea of having a visual that that measured and gave everybody at a glance a feeling about what they're, where the lean is, and whether it's color coding and so forth, basically to highlight the extremes. And so often if anybody asks about what is the best kind of race to wager on, it's always this concept of races that have extreme scenarios in one direction or another.
Exactly. I'm happy to post and I'll talk about a couple of races and how I would look through that today. Unfortunately, looking through our product, right, we can't make the paces extreme just because we happen to be on your show, right?
And right.
So today,
of course,
to be a fairly neutral day. But that said, I think most people are familiar with Triple Crown races, obviously, that are going to be interested in this product. And if you go back to like the 2013 Triple Crown series, right? You had Or Coming From the Clouds to win the Derby. You had, Oxbow and Palace Malice that were up on one of the faster paces in recent memory. And, again, going back to Derby Trail, this was 2013 was kind of the first time that in my handicapping development, which, relatively younger relative to a lot of guesses that you get, I understand that. But that was the first real example of where I could see, okay, this makes a lot of sense to me, where Oxbow kind of hung around and ran a pretty game race, chasing down Palace Malice, gets obviously passed by Orb and, goes on to win the Preakness. Conversely, Palace Malice comes back 5 weeks later after setting that absolutely brutal pace in the Derby and, ends up winning the Belmont Stakes. Now, the other runner, Orb, right, was unlikely to get the same setup that he got in the Derby and obviously underperformed in both of those races. So I think that's just a really practical example that most people are probably going to be familiar with.
Yeah.
So wanted to highlight that. But going to today, right, and I can definitely try to tweet this out. So, there were a couple of races that stood out to me. So at Mahoning Valley, race six, it's only a 5-horse field, but the number of 4-horse fast as can be, comes out of two races where he has been the leader and has been alone on the lead, right? I will note that the track was very sloppy both times. And in both races, the runner just kind of stopped, right? I mean, it was very clear that he went too fast early. I'm not entirely sure that, today would be necessarily any different, but today we have a pace forecast of -6.7. And this horse, the 4-horse, should be, 10 or 12 lengths clear. And I'm not sure that, today, interesting that they kind of protect the horse again. I think that the horse might be able to hold on today. You get a new jockey that may be able to get him to relax a little bit early. Again, should be very loose early. I understand it's a 5-horse field, but that was a horse that, again, you kind of want to upgrade because he, despite stopping, kind of hung on and performed pretty admirably after setting just absolutely brutal paces. The other race that I wanted to highlight was Penn, race one. So the number five, Neon Sign, we have that horse listed as controlling speed. So it pressed the pace in a plus 32 pace race last time out. Now we have today's race at a minus 1.5. Should be much more favorable. This horse projects to get the lead, should be controlling on the front end. You know, a short odds horse again at 5-2. I would probably want every bit of 2-1, but that would be a horse that, you know, based on what I'm seeing with Thorough Pace, should be controlling speed and should get a favorable setup today.
How conducive is the format? And
I'm sorry, Steve, I didn't catch that.
No, I'm
question.
Sorry. John Sheriffson just yelled up. How conducive is the format to building tickets? I mean, obviously, you know, fading favorites and elevating prices or even logical second and third choices. Is there enough? I suppose part of that is field size to a degree. And obviously, the more horses there are in any race, the more opportunity there is for a race to be run honestly, which, of course, I mean, even though you highlighted a five-horse field as a potential spot, I mean, when you get more horses in a race, at least ideally, right, we talk too often about the snatch-and-grab scenario where even though it looks like there's, you know, three horses that might want part of the front end, all of a sudden, you know, two of them take up and a horse that you never figured to be, alone on the lead, those are circumstances you can't control. But, I mean, typically I would imagine the bigger field size races lend themselves to a more honest read or a potentially more favorable read.
Yeah, I would say that the field size is definitely a factor into our forecast, right? So the more horses, theoretically, the faster, honest, the pace, right? So that is an important consideration for sure. I will also say too, right, like if you have a race that is stretch runner favoring, like it's very much subject to scratches, right? I don't know how many people or how many times people have probably handicapped a race. They've handicapped it assuming that the race may actually collapse. There are one or two scratches, and those one or two scratches can dramatically impact the pace of the race. So it is very much important to check back and make sure that scratches have been considered in your final handicapping. And to get to your initial question of how conducive is it to building tickets, I'm going to answer the question a little bit differently, which is this has changed, with the advent of Thorough Pace. It's changed how I've played the races, I would say, more than I thought it would. And really what I mean by that is I used to spend the majority, if not sometimes some days, all of my bankroll in multi-race sequences. Now I'm much more keen to finding horses that I can key as vertical wagers, in vertical wagers. And my favorite thing is to find a horse that we have as a stretch runner getting a hotter pace and keying those horses in second or third. In some cases, they're definitely a win candidate. Wet Paint was one of those, right? Like the pace didn't necessarily pan out as we thought it would, but that was really the only horse that made up any ground on Saturday, and that was a horse that, despite a stretch runner getting a hotter pace, the designation that we had, I actually thought that horse could win. But again, back to my point that those are my favorite, right? And that's how my play has changed, is I'm betting many more exactas and trifectas by using this product, because I feel like I can identify a horse that I'm not necessarily against. Maybe it's a heavy favorite, but I have a long shot that I've identified that has a much higher chance of hitting the board based on the pace dynamics that they're getting today. And that has juiced up several exotic wagers in the past few months for sure.
Outstanding. How quickly in terms of beta testing and circulating it, you've got you mentioned Vol Jack Jenkins. You got a nice circle of horse playing friends. How quickly has it? Have people taken to it in terms of understanding and getting a grasp? For the level of player.
as with everything, right, like I understand and we understand there's a learning curve, right? And we're trying to do what we can to minimize that. I think that, you know, the feedback, and I'll be also very clear that when we kind of made the initial product free in roughly the October timeframe, it looks a little bit different than it does today. And that's by design, right? We were trying to take some of that feedback, you know, iterate, and where we've landed today, we're pretty comfortable and the feedback has been positive. And we will continue to try to lessen that learning curve, to continue to explain how, you know, our core group is using it in our handicapping process and the value that we think it brings. So, you know, we'll probably try to, along the Derby Trail, get some Saturday blogs that, you know, even if you're not a paying subscriber, you can tune in for that analysis, continue to learn, and maybe one day, you know, it'll turn, the light bulb will come on and you'll see the value of it. So that's the hope anyway.
How is it structured? I mean, today, you know, today's a fairly modest race day, but I imagine on a Saturday, the report has got to be sizable. You know, talk about that structure and how quick, you know, how far in advance additions essentially of the cast are sent to players, and talk about the cost structure. What is it going to cost players?
Right. So we do provide our thorough pace, our race analytics on every North American track that's running, you know, with few exceptions, right? Like, you know, thoroughbred, I guess I should qualify that statement. And, you know, so today we have Charlestown, Fairgrounds, Gulfstream, Mahoning, Penn, Parks, Tampa, and Turf Paradise, right? So basically all the tracks that are running. And so, you know, if you, to your point, like on a Saturday, they're might be 12 or 13 tracks, and we would provide all that data and all three products kind of rolled into one. Our price structure is we kind of have a free plan, which, you know, everybody and anybody listening can sign up for a free plan, and we will give you all of our data on every Monday and Tuesday, regardless of whether that's a holiday or not. You know, so that part isn't going to change. We then have a weekend warrior that is basically you get the Monday and Tuesday part of your free, as well as Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, and the price structure for that is $75 per month. And then the full, you know, premium package, as we call it, which is every race and every race day, would be $89 per month. So that's kind of our current pricing structure and tiering, if you will. We discussed, you know, giving pieces of this away. And, you know, I think that really, like, having all of it, and because it all feeds off of each other and is based on each other, is really the best way to go. And so that's where we landed in terms of pricing for this.
Fair enough. No, subscription makes sense. And you'll certainly be available to, you know, help anybody learn, and we can, you know, we can check in you know, on occasion, and anybody, you know, needs to learn more. I mean, I can't recommend, obviously, you highly enough in terms of your approach and you know, how much you love the game, and anybody that puts in this kind of work to create something that is seeking to, you know, fill a gap. And, you know, there's been so many people, and it's amazing to me that, you know, the willingness to share this. I mean, nobody's doing this to, you know, to make a bunch of money. you do this because you have an inquisitive mind, and you created something and you want to put it in the hands of players and let them utilize it to their advantage too.
Yeah, no, that, and it's funny that you say that, because there's a, you know, like I said, a small group of us working on this, and there was some talk of we could release this in just a few tracks and keep the other tracks to ourselves, right? Because the early edge that we were seeing in some of the lesser tracks was actually, you know, perhaps even stronger than some of the main circuits. And, you know, that ultimately we decided on, we needed to provide the data for all the tracks that we would have access to. So that's where we landed.
What explain to everybody the kind of information that you have to plug in to the, you know, the for the lack of a better word, the algorithm to create it. I mean, this has got to be something that I imagine is distilled from Horse Players Warehouse information.
So and actually back to your earlier question about how this is. How often our reports are made available, when they're made available. That is one, I would say, disadvantage that we haven't figured out a way to overcome right now. And what I mean by that is, so this morning, like we have made available tomorrow's thorough case form, right? And so we're always basically at most one day ahead, because there is actually a quite manual process in the workflow that we do, right? And so, you know, basically what we are doing to come up with our entire products is we are assigning speed points to each runner in a given race, right? And so, you know, there's 16 different variables that we look at. You know, are they changing distance? Is there an equipment change? Is a post position change? And basically, where has that horse been at various points in previous races? And so that will allow us to determine a runner's speed points, and then collectively the speed points in a given race will ultimately land us in the overall race pace forecast. And so that's kind of our process. So as you might imagine, there's you know, there is some manual work to be clear that is involved in all of this. So you know, kind of the proverbial someone needs to hit a few buttons to make the magic happen is very much in play here.
Outstanding. Well, Tyler, I just put out, I just took a quick snapshot of the front page, but just put out the links to both you and to the website, and I'm excited to learn it myself and go through it myself. I don't know if you had a chance the other day to listen into the conversation with Gary Palmisano, but I was so intrigued by, you know, like you do every year, more than just every year, you do it for different occasions, Breeders' Cup and Triple Crown season, but your thread about some ideas for wagering menu tweaking for Derby Oaks weekend, and Gary very receptive, and Palmisano, you know, proving himself indispensable as a conduit for horse players, you know, to express ideas and frustrations, and Gary's been responding to everything that's hit at him like a shortstop.
Yeah, and I appreciate that conversation. I did listen in, and, you know, I think that, you know, the main reason that I tagged Gary in the tweet or thread is because I know he will listen and take the feedback. You know, does that mean that he'll implement and everything is possible? I'm not that naive, but, you know, again, you mentioned the Turfway Park finish angle, right? And I mean, I think that's just a good example of someone that's listening to the players, understands the importance of horse players, and is willing to listen, take that feedback, and, you know, most importantly, take action on it. So, you know, again, I wanted to start the conversation a couple of months out. Again, does that mean that things will happen this year? Maybe not, but perhaps, it continues to be on people's radars, and we can continue to figure out what the best product is for horse players to wager on.
Tyler Wisman, WHISMAN. Nice, simple follow. Just use his name. Tyler Wisman, Thorough Pace. Also, you can follow thoroughpace.com. Tyler, best of luck with this, and whatever you need to communicate to players out there, you know I'm eager and happy to help.
Awesome. I really appreciate it, Steve, and have a great day. Thank you.
Not at all. Tyler Wisman and Thorough Pace, and you know, like so many other innovations, there's been, it's amazing to me, between Optix EQ and obviously Timeform US, and here's Tyler's piece. I mean, there's just been so many fresh approaches. You know, then there's the ongoing innovation, you know, the Jerry Brown at Thorograph. I mean, Jerry is constantly adding layers of information, and yeah, there's plenty of others, but I absolutely had to get Tyler involved here. We're going to get John Sheriff's involved when we come back. We've got John Sheriff standing down here on the plaza. He's the only horseman that's out here with the track closed. Skies have actually are attempting to clear, too late to help for training today, and we'll let about as august a horseman as there is on the American training scene, on the international training scene. There's few smarter or more effective than John Sheriff's, and we'll talk to him next. Let's then Sid will join us afterwards. Sid's loose this morning, which is good, and I imagine that Sid is Sid may be like a caged tiger today. So I'm going to make him have to pace his enclosure just a little bit longer. Luckily, he can go outside with the chirping birds and sit by the pool at the absolutely lovely Tampa retreat. So Sid to follow, and we're rolling here. Obviously, a busy morning. I do want to get, I'll see if Doug O'Neill turns up. Maybe we'll push it to tomorrow. But, of course, if there's training tomorrow, everybody's going to be wanting to, get their horses out in a serious manner. So we'll see. Frank Miramati expected tomorrow as well for what is always a delightful visit, whether it's here or at Monmouth Park or anywhere that Frank turns up. So it'll be at Saratoga this summer, not at Monmouth. So we got Frank to look forward to as well. And Seth will get probably some Gulfstream or Tampa action in. And by all rights, if O'Neill's pushed back to tomorrow, if he's not around on campus, I'll probably reach for Todd Fincher, who won all four stakes yesterday at Sunwoods. I mean, unbelievable. And I'm kind of watching for a figure. That winner, Henry Q, who is, for those of you wondering about the name, who is Henry Q? It's not a who. It's a what, and it's not just one what, it's two. It's two dogs. There's Henry, and there's Q. That belonged to football coach Chip Kelly. Yes, Chip Kelly's dogs. Henry and Q, your Mind That Bird Derby winner. Yeah, kind of funny. And Chip Kelly, Chip Kelly is involved in Henry Q with what they call the Del Mar Group. Yeah, Kelly's been around the game for a while, actually. This could be a very nice horse. Doug O'Neill got him going, and Fincher's got him down at Sunland. And he'll stay there for the Sunland Derby. Back after this with John Sheriff.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Beck on Sirius XM Radio.
Here in Pennsylvania, we're proud of our breeding program, the best in North America. But we're also proud to be leaders in this industry. The PA Horse Breeders Association is funding cutting-edge research at Penn Vet into equine health and safety. And we endorse the SAFE Act to help protect the most vulnerable horses. Plus, we're pleased to support the aftercare programs set up by our horsemen's groups. Just a few of the reasons why you should join us in Pennsylvania, the premier place to breed and race.
Who are you betting on? How about an app created specifically for horse racing? Naira Bets. We specialize in thundering hooves, fist pumping, and boosting your bankroll with robust weekly promotions, and offer betting tips from actual horse racing experts. Bet all day and night, nationwide. Get the action in thrill of horse racing with Naira Bets. $200 deposit match with promo Steve200. Visit NairaBets.com for details.
The Pons family's Country Life and Maryland Farms are the place for breeding and racing in the Mid-Atlantic. Country Life is nationally recognized for making stallions and currently stands the Mid-Atlantic's leading first and second crop sires, Divining Rod by Tappan and Mosler by Warfront, as well as Frisian Fire. Maryland's 5/8 mile training track completes the full service facilities from the folding barn to the racetrack. Join the excitement of racing with Country Life Farm, where our partnerships can take you from beginning to winning.
Want to get your career in horse racing off to a fast start? The University of Arizona's Racetrack Industry Program is your winning team.
Would you believe that champions weren't measured by rings, but by a crown? That the history books were written on dirt? That the great...